roots in our hearts, and will bring about the transformation that only He can do. I want to remind you that we have one more Sabbath before Christmas. Amen? Now, Christmas should be a joyful time for us. Amen? Come on. I don't sound like you're too happy. All right? So next week's Sabbath is going to be a special, special Sabbath. We're going to have a special Christmas program. I'm sorry, I can't be at more than one place at a time. And it just happened that my preaching schedule have me right in between. I'm preaching today, and I'll preach the last Sabbath of December. But I won't have the privilege of being here with you next Sabbath. However, the program will be slightly different. The Sabbath school will be from 9:30 to 10:30. What time did I say? 9:30 to 10:30. And 10:30, we will begin the program for the special celebration of Christmas. Didn't expect to hear a big amen, because most of us think the Sabbath rest means that we must rest a little longer in our bed. One of these days I'm going to give a sermon on the Sabbath. But as an introduction, I will remind you that the Sabbath rest, theologically, is not primarily physical. The Sabbath rest is based on God's creation of this world. And it says God rested on the Sabbath. How tired was He? Was He tired? So it was about God needed to, thank you, He needed to rest. He needed more time to spend with humanity. That first Sabbath was the first Sabbath that He was going to dedicate especially to Adam and Eve, and it was also to establish a precedent for all of us, that the Sabbath is a day to spend more time in communion with the God who creates us, created us, and the God who sustains us. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be here in church to enjoy the fellowship with our brothers and sisters on this Sabbath day. I want to encourage you to come early to Sabbath school. Amen? Amen? Some habits we need to break. And the habit of getting late is not a good one. Can you say amen to that? Even if you are accustomed to be late, and normally people that come to church late, they get late to other things too. It becomes a part. And by God's grace, we can break all that. Amen? Amen? Let's start with coming on time to church. Amen? I want you to also remember that we are not here just to fellowship and have a good time. We are not here just to make the church look filled and beautiful. Because each of you here makes the church more beautiful. Amen? Amen. Church is not about the building. Church is not how beautiful the building is. We expect that to be beautiful. But when we have beautiful people in the church, that's what makes the church beautiful. Amen? And I know that I am handsome. Two reasons. One, because I have a beautiful wife. And in my country, we call our wife La Media Naranja, right? A lot of you speak Spanish. So La Media Naranja means the half of the orange. Once in a while you may see a orange that on one side it, and the other side don't look good. No, in our case, it's a beautiful orange all around. So if my wife is beautiful, it means that I have to be handsome. Amen? The second and most powerful reason is I know by faith I am a child of God, and God does not have ugly children. Are you with me? So the more of us that are here on Sabbath to worship and to praise God, is the more beautiful the church becomes. I want to remind you also that the church cannot be concentrated on the in the four walls. The church is to impact the community. And God has us here for a special reason, to impact the community round about us. Work as hard as you can during the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, to help those around you at your workplace, in your home, in your community, wherever you go, at school, to invite individuals to come to listen to the final empire. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for bringing us here safely. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Now use your word to speak to us, we pray, and to motivate us to love you more and to serve you better, because we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our title for today? A man named what? I could have said a baby named Jesus, and that would more fit into the season. But Jesus is not limited to a season. Amen? In fact, Jesus is the only man that lived before he was born. Look at what Galatians 4:4 reminds us, that God sent forth his son when? When the fullness of time was come, God what? Sent forth his son. Gives you no impression that he was just going to exist. He was already here. Jesus was born according to the schedule of God. When the time came in God's eternal clock, there was the birth of Jesus. The angels predicted his unique birth. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she was going to conceive a son. And she's like, hold on. Explain this to me, please. Can I understand how this is going to happen? I'm innocent in regards to many things, but I am aware of the fact that I cannot conceive unless I've been with a man. And the angel said, don't worry. Your conception is going to be special. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And you're going to conceive. And you're going to... That holy thing, child, is going to be the son of who? The son of God. You see, the sonship of Jesus Christ is different to my son that was conceived 30 odd years ago when I was 30 odd years old. And so my son is younger than I. Not so with Jesus. The more I study God's word, the more I'm convinced that Jesus is only the Son of God in the context of your redemption and mine, in the context of his conception, not his existence. He existed throughout eternity. In fact, it is strange that the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that he was born in where? In a manger. Probably the most humble birth registered in history. However, as we had in our scripture reading in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14, and even more, angels did not only announce his birth, but angels sang glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. That was the first Christmas carol. Angels announced and sung wise men came from the east and worshipped him, giving him what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is difficult to worship without giving, because worship is about giving. Amen? And it is not limited to giving material things. Great worship is to praise God for who God is, not necessarily for the circumstances I'm in at that moment. I'm always amazed of Job losing all his riches and all his 10 children dying suddenly, and he still could praise God. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there is something else I want to remind you of. The birth of Jesus, remember when these wise men came to Jerusalem? They asked the question, where is he that is what? Born the King of the Jews. When the information got to Herod the king, he was not happy. In fact, the Bible says that not only Herod, but all Jerusalem were troubled. I want to suggest to you that never before in human history had any birth caused so much fluttering and commotion. This was not only the birth of a man, it was the birth of the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. Who is this Jesus? Who is this man named Jesus? It was in a storm where Jesus was resting in peace, the bottom of the boat, that the disciples, terrified, even though many of them were seamen, woke him up and asked the question, aren't you not concerned? Are you not concerned that we are about to die and you are sleeping? What a question to ask the Savior. Jesus got up and he commanded the winds and the waves, be still. And the question of his disciples was, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? That's the Jesus we want to talk about. The commander of the universe. He doesn't need to say it. He just need to will it. And it happens. He spoke this world in creation. His word is always powerful. And that's why this book is different to every other book. Because this book is the word of God. And this word is always powerful. God says it will not return unto him void. This man named Jesus, the angel proclaimed to Joseph, Matthew 1:23. He spoke about the prophecy of Isaiah. All right, what did the prophet of Isaiah said? He said that a virgin would have a son, and his name would be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. My brothers and sisters, there are days in your life and mine when we wonder where God is. Why isn't he answering me? Why is he allowing me to go through this? Remember, Jesus promised, I will be with you. Until when? While life continues to be on this earth, Jesus is with you through the powerful presence of his Holy Spirit. Never doubt, trust his word. Never doubt, he is leading. And finally, all things work together for good to them that served the Lord. It is nice to be on the mountaintop, but as Martin Luther King Jr. said, we got to go back to the valley. But I want you to always remember that the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. The God of the day is still the God of the night. God is ever present and is always able to see and to know everything that is happening to you. Why? Because he's God. The angel also declared Jesus to be the Savior. Amen? John, in his first chapter, and as you know, John did not write chapters and verses. That was done hundreds of years after. John says, in the beginning was what? The beginning was what? And the word was? And the word was God. And he said, everything that has been made was made by Jesus Christ. And without him, nothing was made. And then in verse 14, let's go to verse 4. Verse, in him was what? And was the light of man. Your ability to discern between right and wrong is a gift from God. We are what we are today because Jesus has made a difference in your life and mine. We beheld his glory. We what? Verse 14. We beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of God. Full of grace and truth. There is nobody in the universe like Jesus. Did you hear me? There is nobody in the universe like Jesus. The prophet Micah tells us that he delights in mercy. He enjoys forgiving you and me. He lives to save you and me. His name shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. The word of God, that powerful word that spoke and brought everything in nature in existence, is the same powerful word that maintains everything today. But above that, this Jesus gave his life to make a difference in your life. In fact, he declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will what? On the morning of his resurrection, he looked back on the tomb where he came from, and he proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. I am he that was dead, but I'm now alive, and I will live forevermore. Thanks to that life, Jesus is not selfish. He came to die so that he could share everlasting life with you and with me. Can you say amen? Let me emphasize. Jesus is not only a historic reality. He must be a reality for you and for me. People are not saved by group. You see, Jesus spoke about he coming to give us new life, which is symbolized in our Christian experience. The two basic important things for us to become a new creation. One, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? When Nicodemus said, how is it that I'm going to be born again? Can I go in back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, you and I are born from our parents, and nobody can give what they don't have. My parents did not have everlasting life, so they couldn't give me that. Are you with me? Jesus has everlasting life. So he can give it to us. The first birth, we get a birth certificate that, according to the Bible, gives us the right to 70, 70, 10, according to the King James Version. God has been good to me. I've already passed that. Praising the Lord. But that's not really what he wants you to have. That's not really what he wants me to have. He came to give us eternal life. And he says, in order for us to get eternal life, we need to be born again. We are born by the Spirit, which we understand to be conversion. Conversion means you make a right about turn. You see, there are some natural tendencies that I inherited from my parents. Some were good, some were not so good. You see, I tell you, I'm over 70. My parents had 9 children. The 9 of us are still alive. My oldest sister is over 80. She's still going strong. My father died at almost 96. 5 weeks more and he would be there. My mother died at a little over 95. So that's a good inheritance. Good genes are there. All right? But that's all they could give me. Jesus can and wants to give you eternal life. Conversion, you must be born of the water and born of the what? Spirit, you must be born again. The watery baptism in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul emphasized that when we are baptized, we are dead, buried, and we are resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what Jesus came to assure us. I died so you can live. May I go a little more on that? You see, many times we come to the conclusion that we have to work to save ourselves. Hello. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, we forget to read a little more. Where the apostle emphasizes, God is who wills and who does it. Amen? So, in this new birth experience, we don't save ourselves. Just like in our first birth, we did not, you know, the Spanish have it wrong. Because in Spanish we say, yo nací. In other words, I was born by myself. In other words, I didn't do anything. My mother did the pushing. And it is also true in the spiritual world. You can't work your way in the kingdom. I can't. It is a gift from God. Like physical life is a gift from God, spiritual life is also a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And that gift comes to us through the man named Jesus Christ, the God-man. You are saved and I am saved. And safe when we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For there is therefore no condemnation. How much? No condemnation. If you are in Jesus, if I'm in Jesus, we are saved forever and ever. The apostles emphasized Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. For there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. Nobody else. Jesus is unique because he does not only give us life now, but he emphasized, I came that you may have life and you may have it more abundant. Not only abundant in time, but abundant in joy, happiness, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrows, for the former things are passed away. I want to invite you today to make a special commitment. You see, as I mentioned before, we are not saved by groups. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, is not good enough. Jesus is the omnipotent Savior. His death guarantees salvation of this world forever. Is not good enough. God with us, Jesus as Savior of the world, not good enough. How or why? Salvation is personal. Now we have a few twins in our family. I have a special slide that has 5 babies, quintuplex. But you know what? Each one of them come one by one. We won't be saved in because we are with a nice group of people. Salvation comes when you and I personally surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And I think this is a good time of the year. You see, Christmas is probably the time, especially in Christendom or Christianism, where we do the most giving. Are you with me? A lot of these giving is driven commercially. And we make our list. And some of us review that list. We want to make sure that all those folks that are close to us, you don't miss any. Send them or you give them a Christmas gift. We many times celebrate the birthday of Jesus, Christmas, giving gifts to everybody and forget about Jesus himself. It's like having a birthday party without the person present that has a birthday. I want to suggest to you, number one, on your list this Christmas should be Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The best gift should be for Jesus. Kind of a silent. I repeat, the best gift should be for Jesus. Once we are together on that, I want to move one step farther. The best gift you can give to Jesus is yourself. Amen? This is what we call, in our theological language, to surrender to Jesus. To what? Maybe this illustration will not be altogether accepted. When you and I, how many of us are married? Let me see your hands. All right? Some of you are not, or some of you are afraid to raise your hand because you don't know what I'm going to say after this. But when you pledge before God and man to unite your life with this person, you pledge to be faithful to that person, to live to honor that person, to live to make that person happy. You know, I had one of the strangest things happen in all my life as a pastor. One of my colleagues, it happened here in New Jersey, one of my colleagues did everything for a couple, But the day they were getting married, he had to be out of town. And so he asked me to do the wedding. It's the only wedding I've done like this, by the way. When I got there, because he didn't explain this to me, we were having the wedding was going to be a Sunday, and it was Saturday night. We were having a rehearsal of what was going to happen the next day. Then I found out that the young lady was connected to Seventh-day Adventists, and her fiancé was a Muslim. And so I was going to do a Christian wedding, and the imam was going to do a Muslim wedding. And the imam was very nice, very polite, and he said, "Pastor, you do yours first." We established a nice relationship. He promised he would send me one of their sacred books, a Quran, and I have it in my house. But this happened when we took the vow. When I took the vow with the young man, his answer was yes. When I took the vow with the young lady, there was something that never happened before and never happened again. After I asked the question that was, you know, multiple, there was silence for, let's say, 10, 15 seconds, but there it felt like an eternity. And then she finally said, "I don't know about honoring him, but I'm going to work on it." Honor, you know, you say you honor. "I don't know about that, but I'm going to work on it." And of course, the whole congregation was laughing. And when that was kind of a calm down, I said, "You know what? You made a very wise statement. Because marriage is about working on it all the time." Amen? Now, I'm married this past week, we had our 41st wedding anniversary. But, and here's the part that you may not be with me. Who is the boss in your house? In my house, my wife. And I always get that reaction. So I say, when I am not there, then I get that same reaction. But when I'm there, she bosses me also. She decides what I'm going to eat. Sometimes she kind of got out of it now. She would also decide what I'm going to wear. You see, you cannot be in an intimate relationship and still have your own way. Over the years, lots of things have changed thanks to my wife. You cannot be submissive to Jesus and still want to continue in the old life. Some of us say, "Well, I was born under, you know, all these zodiac symbols." No. No, you are born and you are a Christian. Because Christ is in control. Amen? So I want to close asking you to surrender everything to Jesus. And I want you to know that I'm asking you to do this recognizing that the majority of you are Seventh-day Adventists in good and regular standing. That has nothing to do with surrendering, because some of us have been here for years and years and years, and we still are hard-headed. There may have been a time when we were more submissive to the Lord, but as our lesson for today said, we have backslidden. Surrendering to Jesus is not an act that we play out today. It's an act that we have to do every day. Every day, you and I need to remember that we are covered only by the blood, and we live to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. Not through our grace, not through our strength, not through our power, but through the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you today. And if you are willing to say, Lord, I am surrendering my life to you today. I am trusting only in you to be my Savior and my Lord. I want to ask you to come up front. I want to pray for you. Whoever you are, if you are willing to make that public confession today, Lord, I am surrendering my life to you. I want to do whatever you want me to do, whenever you want me to do it. Take my life. Use me to your glory. Come, I want to pray for you. No music, no special music. While we are moved by emotion, we should not abuse it either. I want you to come because deep down in your heart, you want to have a richer and a more beautiful experience with Jesus Christ. Anybody else want to come? Join us. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. So anybody else want to come before we pray? There is no place more precious than being close to the altar of God. While I pray especially for those of you that are up here, that God will strengthen your faith. But I also pray for those that are standing elsewhere, that your heart may also be surrendered to Jesus Christ. It is not what we know, it's who we know. How do we use what we know wisely to be a blessing to others? Let's pray. Our God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that you did not only predict his coming, but at a specific time you sent him into this world. Thank you that Jesus came and he lived a life that teaches us not only to know you better, but also to serve you better. He taught us really who God is, and he taught us how to live in harmony with God, a submissive life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your example. We think about you in Gethsemane, agonizing with all the demons and the devil, pressuring you to walk away. Under that burden, you prayed, Father God, you are able to do everything. Just take away this cup from me. But you had it, not my will, today we come before you. Dear Father, recognizing that we dare not pretend to be, we need to be indeed sons and daughters of thine. We need to surrender our lives daily. We need to have such a communion with you that we can be assured that those decisions we are making are led by your Spirit. I pray for your sons and daughters that are standing before you today, not because we believe that we are able, but because we know we are not able, that the victory is only in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We want to be submissive to you. We want to follow you wherever you are leading us. We want you not only to be our Savior, but also our Lord. We want to enjoy your presence with us. When the day is dark, or when the sun is glowing, when everything is going fine, or when everything seems to be going wrong, help us to trust you, recognizing that you are with us. When we make mistakes, when we sin, when we didn't follow where you lead, give us a repenting heart. And you have told us in your word, you rejoice in extending mercy to us. Pour out that mercy upon us even now. Keep us by your grace. And may our lives so shine that men may see Jesus in us and be led to glorify your name. Help us as we attempt to reach out to others. Guide us to those that are seeking you, we pray. And we praise you because one day soon you will come back to take us home. We will live with you throughout eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming as a babe, for living the life of a young person, and also as an adult, for dying to save us, for your resurrection, your intercession, and that one day soon you will come to take us home. What a glorious day that will be. May our hearts rejoice and be comforted and be reassured of the blessed hope of your coming soon. We pray these in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 God bless you.